Pastor Fred Luter. I'm excited and delighted to have been invited here tonight. So I am tickled to death to be able to not just be here and preach, but to be here and to partner with fellow believers in Jesus Christ. We are the church. It's not a name on a sign. It is a people group who gather together knowing that they serve the risen Savior, Jesus Christ. And that's what it's all about. I'm thankful for Brother BJ and Union Chapel. We've had many conversations leading up to this, and we stood in the gym a few weeks ago and we talked about what a blessing it is to talk about having sister churches, but when you really have a sister church, it is such a blessing. And so I'm thankful for Brother BJ and Union Chapel, and I know this, if I need anything, I can call Brother BJ Mills and we'll get it done. As long as it's ethical, moral, and glorifying to God. We do need to put some disclaimers out there, brother. Carpenters for Christ, I want to say this to y'all. Thank you for being here. I know they're appreciative of you. We're excited to host you at First Baptist Church, and you have allowed us the opportunity this week to have more gospel conversations than we've had in the past few weeks, because everybody wants to know, what are all them campers doing downtown? So we get to answer those questions. Why are all them people at the church? Well, they're working. Well, what are they doing? Well, I don't really know what they're doing. Go ask them. But we are excited that you are here with us this week, and I know that, like I said, they're here. They're excited that you're here working with them. There's some things that have been on my heart for really since I answered the call to ministry, but in the past couple years, they've really been at the forefront, and that is this. I am afraid that we as the church aren't doing a good job of discipling people to follow us, if that makes sense. Like, I think that we struggle sometimes. Yes, we'll get you saved, but we don't really know what to do with you after we get you saved. Does that make sense? And so I'm afraid that we have a problem making disciples. And so I'm encouraged by the scripture that Paul wrote to Timothy. And I know that when Paul wrote this, many people are going to look at it and go, well, that's what he was telling pastors. Well, can I just tell you this tonight? As a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, you may not stand and preach the gospel from a pulpit, but you have a responsibility every single day of your life to preach the gospel from your pulpit, whatever it looks like. I love the words of Dan Cathy. He said, he's the founder, he's the owner of Chick-fil-A now, and so Truett was the founder, but Dan is his son. And so he said this, he gave the dimensions of a Chick-fil-A countertop, and he said, that's my pulpit, and I get to preach from it every day. And so you have a responsibility to preach the gospel every single day if you're a born-again believer in Jesus Christ. Now, it's my prayer that tonight there could be a lost person in here. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, you cannot be a disciple maker until you come to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Those of us that are in the room that have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we have a responsibility. We have a call. We have the command to be disciple makers. So if you have your Bible, you can turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. I'll read verses 1 through 10. While you're flipping there, you should find these similar words. Starting with verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Verse 5 says, and if a man also strive for masteries, yet he is not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Father God, we thank you so much for your word. Lord, we thank you for your faithful servant Paul and the Holy Spirit convicting him to pen these words to his disciple Timothy. And we thank you for the ministry that you showed us in his life. And Lord, tonight I just pray that we as servants of yours, Lord, that we would read this passage of Scripture and apply it to our daily life. Yes. Lord, that we would take it and that we would use it, knowing that because you said it won't return void. And so, Lord, I just pray right now that you would anoint us to go and to do the work that you've called us to do. Father, I pray as I do every time I stand to preach that I would decrease, that you would increase, that I would hide behind the cross of Jesus Christ and preach the gospel to a lost and dying world that needs salvation. Father God, let me do it boldly and unashamedly, glorifying the name of Jesus Christ. It's in Christ's name I pray, and God's people say it. Amen. Amen. Recently, exponentialanddiscipleship.org, they did a national study in disciple-making in USA churches. This research was conducted by Gray Matter. You can go look it up. But this is what they found, and this was very disturbing and very disheartening. Fewer than 5% of churches in the United States have a reproducing disciple-making culture. No churches that they studied reflect viral-like disciple-making. Church, that's a problem. That's a problem in light of what Paul tells Timothy here. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Can I remind you tonight, church, you're not doing this in your own accord. You're doing this in the strength of the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Amen. Carpenters, you didn't show up to Marion County, Lamar County, Alabama, and do the work that you're doing in your own strength. You're doing it in the strength of Christ Jesus. And if you're doing it anything other than for the Lord Jesus Christ, you're doing it in vain. And I'm not calling anybody out. I'm just saying that's how we all are. That's me in my daily walk. That's me in my daily life. Every single day I get up and I make the choice. Am I going to go do the work of the kingdom today? And am I going to make sure that Jesus Christ is glorified? Or am I going to go build Zane's kingdom, which will surely fail? And we've got to make sure, church, that our motive is pure, that we know that we are seeking out and searching out, and we are going to, in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, be strengthened to do the work that He's called us to do. Well, what's the work has He called us to do? I'm glad you ask. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. What are you supposed to do? You're supposed to go share the gospel, and you're supposed to equip other men to help you and to serve the kingdom of God in the process. You should be, every single person is a teacher of the gospel if you're a born-again believer of Jesus Christ. The Great Commission, I have it in my Bible, I have written out beside it, the Great Commission is not to the pros, it's to all of us Joes. Every single person who's a born-again believer in Jesus Christ has the commandment to go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. That's what we are to do. We're also supposed to teach them to do what? To be obedient to the commands that I've given you. That's what it says in the Scripture. Paul then gives us some really, really good illustrations. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. I saw these quotes and they really kind of punched me in the face. Maybe they'll do the same for you. Tom Rainer said this, "We have become so obsessed with attendance and offerings and other numerical indicators that we have lost sight of the biblical mandate to make disciples." Dallas Willard said, "The greatest issue facing the world today, with all its heartbreaking needs, is whether those who are identified as, quote, Christians will become disciples, students, apprentices, practitioners of Jesus Christ." Church, we have a responsibility to share the gospel. We have an obligation to share the gospel. Here's what it says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." The first thing is this, is if we're going to be a good soldier, if we're going to be a good person who is called a disciple of Jesus Christ, then it requires us to be committed. Have you ever seen a soldier that wasn't committed? Have you ever seen a soldier that says, you know what, I'm not willing to go fight right now. I think I'm just going to sit down over here and wait. You just let me know. No, I've never experienced a soldier like that. Every soldier that I've ever came in contact with knew the commander's voice. They knew who they were responsible to, and they knew with clarity their responsibility in the process. And so a good soldier will be committed to the process. They will be focused on the task. A good soldier will put all other pursuits aside. No man that warreth entangleth himself with affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. He will not be distracted by the things of the civilian world around him. He's going to be focused on the primary goal, and that is whatever the commanding officer has directed him to do. Can I tell you, church, that the commanding officer has given us clear instruction. There's some things in this world we got to pray about. This is one you don't have to pray about. He's given you a clear instruction to go and make disciples.
Yes, sir.
And so I ask you, soldier, I ask you right now, who are you discipling? Who are you pouring into? Who are you carving out time in your schedule to make sure that you're having breakfast once a week with them, or you're having lunch once a week with them? Who are you making sure that you're equipping to do the ministry that God's called them to do? You see, here's the amazing thing to me is we all think that we're going to live forever, but we all say we know death is sure. Can I just tell you, church, that we're all going to die. And if we're not passing the baton, we're not doing it right. You see, Paul wrote this letter from prison. He knew that in the writing of this letter to Timothy that death was imminent. It was on his doorstep. Boring Christ shall return. He knew that in Nero's prison, he was going to surely die. And so he penned this letter to Timothy, letting Timothy know, hey, here are the things that you need to know to pass on to the next guy. Again, I just want to remind you, verse 2, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Imagine if the disciples had just said, you know what, Jesus, that was a good story. You told us, we appreciate you letting us see the resurrection. Thank you for letting us see the ascension. We're just going to sit on it right here. We're not going to tell a soul about it. I can tell you what we would be. We would all in this room, we'd be lost. That's what we'd be, with no hope. But because those apostles took the initiative, they understood their calling, they knew what they were called to do, Jesus said, follow me, and I will do what? Make you fishers of men. And they knew that they were to be fishers of men, and they knew that they had a special anointing on their life to go and to share the gospel with all people. Church, in 2025, as a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, that commitment has not changed. That command to be obedient to Jesus Christ has not wavered. It hasn't moved. I don't care what people say on Fox News or CNN or any other news source. Can I just tell you that the only truth in this world is Jesus Christ, and it's the only thing that's never going to change. Everything else has a moving target. Jesus don't. When Jesus called us to make disciples, then he means make disciples today. Then he says in verse 5, if a man also strive for masteries, yet he is not crowned, except he strive lawfully. Masteries is an athlete. When you translate that word, it translates athlete. Now, I'm a big baseball guy, and my church back there, they're tired of hearing baseball analogies, but it is what it is. It's really good at teaching us life. Baseball is. All right? I mean, there's not another sport in the world where you can fail 70% of the time and be a hero, except in baseball and life. I feel like I fail way more than 70% in life. But thanks be to God, I keep getting back up. You know what I mean? But when you have a pitcher and a catcher, and you've got a batter and you've got an umpire. Now, I get it. There's some of y'all that are about to start complaining about umpire strike zones, all right? It is what it is. But the home plate doesn't change. It's 17 inches no matter who's pitching. The standard is the same always. Athletes do not get to change the rules by which they play by. If you start the game with the officials on the field and this is the rule, when you finish the game, this is the rule. Can I tell you, there's Christians in the world today who claim to be Christians, that I pray are Christians, but to be completely honest with you, they want to change the rules. They want to change the way that they're doing things. They want to move the mark to here, or they want to move the mark to there. My church back there has heard this story before, but I love to tell it because it gives a beautiful picture. Dr. Tony Evans, and I don't know if you like him or dislike him, and it is what it is. I know that there's some stuff going on with him, but he's a man of God. He preaches the Word of God. And so Dr. Tony Evans shared this story about his son. And his son was in like 7th or 8th grade, and he came to his office one day, and he said, Dad, I can dunk it. I need you to come out here and see it. Come out here and watch me dunk it. And Dr. Evans dropped his pen and said, there's no way he can dunk it. There's no way that my 7th or 8th grade son can dunk it. So he goes out there to the gym and he looks, and sure enough, there is this boy dunking it. He's dunking it. Man, he gets the ball, he dunks it again. And so he gets to looking, and he said, son, he said, how are you dunking that ball? And he said, Dad, I just let the goal down to about 8 feet. Now I can dunk it. Can I tell you, church, that that's what we as believers sometimes want to do? We want to let the goal down to about 8 feet so that we can dunk it. The problem, though, is according to Scripture, that God is righteous and holy and there is no sin in Him. That ain't just me. That's what the Word of God says. The Word of God says that we cannot stand before a holy and righteous God, but through the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the only way we can stand before Him. So we can't change that. John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except through me. And so, church, that tonight is what we must understand. As we are making disciples, we don't get to bend the rules. We don't get to make exceptions. The rule is this. There is no way to God but through Jesus Christ the Son, who Himself is God. Jesus Christ died on the cross. He didn't pass out. He was dead. They took Him off the cross, placed Him in a borrowed tomb. He laid there for 3 days. On the third day, He was resurrected. He spent some 40 days making appearances, and then He ascended into heaven, where today He sits at the right hand of the Father, and He intercedes on our behalf. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ that we get to preach as born-again believers. That we as good soldiers make sure we hear the commanding of the officer. That we as athletes know the rules that are set and the standards that are set before us, and we stay within them. Then it says in verse 6, the husbandman, that's a farmer, that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Can I just tell you that I don't know if there's any harder working people in the world than farmers? And here's the thing about farmers. I can't tell you, nor will we be able to have a debate at supper or breakfast or whenever, Brother BJ. We will never be able to have a debate about who the best farmer is. Now, we can talk about basketball players. We can talk about baseball players. But we would never debate, well, he's a better farmer than he is. Now, some of y'all may debate who's the better farmer in the room, but we're not going to debate who's the best farmer that's ever existed in the history of the world. Why? Because farming's not glamorous. Farming doesn't get you on the headline news very often. Farming doesn't get your name put in very many newspapers. Farmers just show up day in, day out, and they get the job done. As a good soldier of Jesus Christ, we are to hear the commanding voice. As an athlete, we are to stay within the rules and the boundaries that have been set forth clearly by Scripture, commanded by Jesus Christ, following the Holy Spirit. And as a farmer, we just show up and do the work. And it may not be glamorous. It may not be what we think it should be. And there's going to be days, go back to the top up there where it says, thou therefore endure hardness. There's going to be days where it's hard. There's going to be days where we want to quit. But may we be reminded that Paul wrote to the church at Galatia, do not grow weary, for in due season you'll reap if you do not give up. Church, if we're going to be disciple makers, we've got to go about it as a good soldier, as someone who's within the rules as a farmer. If we're going to be disciple makers that make an impact for the kingdom of God, we've got to make sure that we are pouring out into others every single day of our life. Yes, there's a time where you should be able to sit down and replenish. And yes, you should carve out time for your alone time and your private time where you get in the Word of God. And yes, you should find those men that sharpen you. But you've got to find somebody, church. Men, women, you've got to find somebody that you're pouring into. That you're pouring Jesus Christ into. That you can make an impact on their life. And here's the beauty of it is, when you lead somebody to Jesus Christ, that's an eternal impact. And that's what it's all about. Verse 7 says, "Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ, of the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound." Paul said, "I'm in chains, I'm in shackles. I'm right here, I'm bound up and I'm tied up, but I'm not doing it for my own good. I'm doing it for the kingdom of God. And may the kingdom of God be glorified in the midst of all of it. Therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." A farmer, an athlete in Paul's day, think the Olympics for us, and a soldier all have one thing in common. Very rarely do they serve themselves. They're always putting the betterment of other men ahead of them. And so a good soldier, a good disciple maker, will make sure that he's doing what he's been commanded to do by the great commandment, that he's loving his neighbor as himself, that he's taking care of those people around him. Your why is simple. Your why is simple. "I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the" what? "Salvation, which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." You show up and you sleep on air mattresses and gym floors where the heat may be on or the air conditioner may be on. You may be burning up. You may be freezing cold. I don't know if we could regulate that. We would over there at the Baptist Church. But you do it for the sake of one soul being saved. Union Chapel, you can have the nicest fellowship hall that's ever existed. But if you don't use it to win people to Jesus Christ, then it's all for naught. First Baptist Church, we can serve and we can open our doors all day long. But if Jesus Christ is not made known, then it doesn't matter. It's all for naught. And so, church, my challenge to us tonight is this. Who are we discipling? Who are we pouring into? Who are we making sure that they can take our place if tomorrow we're gone from this place to stand face to face with Jesus Christ? Because let me assure you, none of us are promised one more breath. And I know we don't like to talk about it, but it's the reality and it's the truth. So who's going to replace you? Who's going to take your place? Who are you pouring into? Who are you discipling? Not just to lead a beautiful carpentry organization that y'all have had passion for, that you've done. Not just to pastor a church, but who's going to carry on the name of Jesus Christ to the next generation after you? That's what's important. If you're in this room and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I've already told you, you can't be a disciple maker until you come to the saving grace of Jesus Christ. And it's pretty cut and dry. It's pretty clear how to be a believer in Jesus Christ. Jesus looked at Nicodemus and said, "You must be born again. You must be willing to follow Jesus. You got to admit that you're a sinner in need of a Savior. You've got to repent. And you've got to accept Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. You've got to accept that Jesus Christ is who He says He is." I want to leave you with these words from Jesus Christ, Luke chapter 14, verses 25. It says, "And there went great multitudes with Him, and He turned and said unto them, If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and even his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he hath sufficient to finish it? Least, haply, after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it began to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. I just want to pause right here and say, Brother BJ, y'all probably counted the cost before y'all started building that fellowship hall. You probably prayed about it a pretty good bit so that you didn't get right in the middle of it, church, and have to say, you know what, we can't finish it. Why? Because that wouldn't be glorifying to God. But we do that with our life all the time. We haphazardly just do things not thinking about the consequences or the cost that is costing the kingdom of God. Or what king going to make war against another king setteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able to with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000. Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if the salt hath lost its savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land, nor yet for the dunghill. But men cast it out. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Church, if you're in this place and you don't know Jesus, you need Jesus to be a disciple maker. If you're in this place and you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we're going to have some invitation. We're going to have some invitation. And so if you're in this place tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ, this is an opportunity for you to accept Jesus Christ. There's plenty of men and women in here that would love to take time and pray with you. I've already told you what it takes. You just got to be willing to be obedient. For those of us that are in this room that do know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, here's my challenge to you. Are you being a good disciple? Are you pouring into somebody else? Are you making sure that your kingdom is being used, your life, your tent, your temple is being used to build the kingdom of God? Or are you building it for yourself? You're building it for yourself. And I'll be honest with you, church. There's days where I have to catch myself and check myself because I build my own kingdom. But we got work to do. I just want to remind you, 5% of USA churches, 5% have disciple-making priority in their church. We got some prayer to do. We need the Holy Spirit, and we need the kingdom, and we need to be about the Father's business. Father God, we thank you again for the opportunity to gather in this place. We thank you for the opportunity to open your word and to lift up the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray if there's anyone among us that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that tonight will be a night of salvation for them. Lord, for those of us who are believers in Jesus Christ, may tonight be a night that we get serious about being disciple makers. That we get serious about being about the Father's business. That we would be reminded that it's going to be hard, it's going to be tough, there's going to be days where we don't feel like we want to do it. But God, let us be reminded that our salvation's not a feeling, and when we don't feel like doing something, that we need to, in the strength of the Holy Spirit, carry on. Father, I thank you for these men and women that have come from all over to be here this week and to serve in the capacity that you've gifted them with and called them to serve in. Lord, I thank you for this church, Union Chapel. God, I just pray that you continue to bless it and use it to grow your kingdom. Lord, I pray that First Baptist Church would be the same way, that you would just bless us and use us to further your kingdom. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.